Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Now, get scary.
The damn thriller music. This afternoon and night. Where's it at? Excellent. Thank you, scary dude off the back end of the British lady. We keep stacking the guests for our intro every night. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars, Stardate 12-14, I believe. 22. Hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. I am your host, Dave Atwill. Standing out here, I decided to forego the cigar tonight because according to the weather man, it was supposed to be raining and cold. And to this point, it's doing neither. But I mentioned the temperature has dropped 10 degrees in the last 2 hours. So I'm going to stand out here and drink malt beverages in the cold as long as I can stand it, and at which time I will move my chilly, frostbitten butt back into the house and carry it for the rest of tonight's show. You know, you kind of reach that point of no return when you get enough beers lined up on the deck ledge here, and you're like, okay, well, I got all those beers out there. Maybe I'll go in after I drink all those beers because I'm not going to carry all these cold beers back inside. So anyhow, on with introducing my most esteemed panel. And again, I remind you, that's esteemed with two E's, not an E-A. We do that at the Giant Crab in Myrtle Beach. Nevertheless, hailing from the same city of Myrtle Beach, and he knows damn full and well who Tommy the Crab is at the Giant Crab. Dr. John, what is happening, brother?
Oh, Brother Dave, it's so good to be here. It's so good to be a guest because, you know, I host Monday night and Tuesday night, and it is so good to get on here and just be a guest, just be a friend. It's great. So anyway, glad to be here with you. And let's see, just got my oil changed today, did a few things, did some work. Glad to be here, chilling out with my vodka and strawberry lemonade while you have your malt beverage. So we're in good shape.
I hear you. You know, before the, maybe when the show's over with, I may indulge in, we've got Walton Distillery right down the road from the house here. It's probably about a 7-8 minute drive, and they actually make whiskey, bourbon, and air quotes moonshine. It's all legal moonshine, so before you start, you know, before the Kennedys start getting their heads perked up going, did somebody say moonshine? Does somebody need a ride? They do everything right there. As a matter of fact, the wife and I went and toured over there week before last, and it was cool. We sat right there and watched whiskey being made, and pretty nifty stuff. But I will tell you, they make an apple pie and a salted caramel whiskey that is pretty damned nice. So I may indulge in a glass of that to warm up this evening when I get done with my copious amounts of blue ribbon malt beverages sitting here. But nevertheless, enough of my
Dave, I am going to interrupt you, and I'm going to say the next time I am up in Jacksonville, I need to be escorted by you and Dale, or at least you, over there to that marvelous distillery and make some new friends.
Yeah, because Don Walton's a friend of mine, and he is the owner, proprietor, founder, you name it, And it's all family run, and it's getting bigger, bigger, bigger. He's adding stuff on. He's getting ready to add an event center on and everything else. So, yeah, it's coming along. It's going to be pretty nifty, and it's something that they've been working on for quite some time. And it's right there. Oh, God, I'm trying to get through this back door here. It's right there off of 53. And you drive right by it if you weren't looking for it. But it's cool as hell. And they'll give you a little tour of the building. And then you get to sample a couple shots, which is always the coup de grace of a good tour of a distillery. You know what I mean? So, so
That sounds good. Definitely. Now, I know not everybody knows what we're talking about, but when I'm coming up to the Walgreens at the intersection of 53 and 24 and make a right and that still continues 53, am I going to pass it?
Yeah, it's actually on Blue Creek Road. So you'll be running while you're going down 53, Blue Creek Road runs parallel to it and then cuts into it down there towards the end before you get to Maple Hill. So you can actually drive down 53, take a hard right, and then a quick left, and you'll be right there at it. So, yeah, once you know where it's at, you're like, oh, hell, I could find this. It's just knowing it's there and, you know, because it looks almost like a storage building, so to speak. And,
Well, I'm just looking forward to going out there with you. I'll be there within 2 weeks, and we'll go there, and you can give me the misguided tour. How about that?
Yeah, man. Good stuff. We can do it. So we've got another panelist showing up here. So, again, to get back to the esteemed panel, hailing from that fine state of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster, how are you this evening, young lady?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Dave. Hello, everybody. Sorry I'm a few minutes late. I was having to take care of some personal stuff. So
that's quite all right. Good to have you aboard tonight. Hope everything's going well on your end. I know I had a friend of mine out there in Texas. She worked for Sam's Club, and she was in the cash office doing what cash office people do, and she heard a bunch of rumbling, so she got on the walkie and said, hey, what are you guys doing out there? And come to find out, it was a tornado coming through the back of the building there in Texas. So,
oh, my.
Hopefully that storm system is passed you guys by or either has gone by.
We had some like thunderstorms yesterday, but I know there was a tornado somewhere, I think over in Oklahoma yesterday, but we just had the rain, but now everything's turning cold and they're talking possibly we might have a white Christmas next week. Who knows? So.
Well, really, there you go. Yeah, white Christmases are cool if you're a kid. For everybody else, they suck because we still got to go to work and all that kind of good stuff. But, Granny, it's good to have you aboard this evening.
Thank you.
I do appreciate you joining us. So, tonight's topic, seeing that Dr. John and myself have been bouncing off the walls doing this for the last month and a half, tonight's topic is about cons and events of the like. So, Dr. John, how about you starting us off? Give us a little bit about the con scene.
Well, the con scene has been pretty good for me. Let me just relate my very quick personal story. I had 10 Comic-Cons, and here came COVID. And in 7 days, in 1 week, my business was shut down. And it was terrifying. I mean, I'm just sitting here at my computer watching the news and saying, oh, dear God. So I didn't know what to do, so I went and got some additional employment. And one day about a year ago, I got the itch to do an event. And I said, well, I might have time to promote the Georgia Bigfoot Conference, which I love because I got so many friends down there in Northeast Georgia. I really do. And so I called up some of my buddies from Alabama, from The Walking Dead, and got them to say they'd come up. Got Robin McRae coming up. Got Jessica Jones. Got Matt Delph, my whole crowd. And so we had, and Dr. Trey Donaway, and we had a blast. And I said, you know, I missed this. I'm going to get it started again. So the first thing I did was I planted a tree in Havelock, North Carolina on November the 19th. And then we've got another tree, a.k.a. another Comic-Con, planned for February the 18th in Jacksonville. And we're just moving right along. And I can tell you, the con scene is great. Charlotte was good. We've got what's real big and coming up other than Jacksonville, which is February the 18th. The 25th, February 25th, is Captain's Expo in Charleston, which is always a good time. And my buddy Rob is excited about it. He says it's going to be even bigger, badder, and better this time. So I think Comic-Cons, in a very real sense, are back. The ones in the larger towns, I mean, you know, Havelock and Jacksonville are pretty much the same town, Dave, and I think you'll agree it's really like one big metro area. So, I mean, and I think that's going to do well. Wilmington has smaller cons. I'm not there to do Cape Fear Comic Con anymore because prices of buildings is too high. Brad and Jen Miller have XCon down here in Myrtle Beach, which is good. I hope they're able to continue to do it this spring. And I think, and of course, Florence is doing well. It's got two Comic Cons put on by Brian Nesbitt of Power Comics. Great guy, just a really good guy. And he also owns Galactic Comics over there in Florence with Dale. And it's just a phenomenal store. It's right off Five Points. So everybody needs to go over there and check out Dale Poston and Galactic Comics. It's a lot of fun. I always have a great time whenever I'm in Florence. I always have to stop by the Thunderbird and get me some chicken salad off that buffet, and then I go see Dale and see what he's got for me. Don't laugh at me. I love their chicken salad. It's like what calms the soul. And I'm gonna say, Granny, do you like chicken salad?
I hope you do. I love chicken salad, especially if it has the pecans and the cranberries in it.
Oh, you like the Christmas.
Now, wait a minute. Now, there is chicken salad that you can get in here in Arkansas all year long that has cranberries and pecans in it all year long.
Yeah, we do
not
that
just
here
at,
in Arkansas.
Not just at Christmas time, so...
Well, that's a Christmas time thing here in the Carolinas. And, in fact, I'm going to see the McIntyres this Saturday for my Christmas with them. And I might, you know, that's a good idea. I might have to go to the IGA, which has the world's best chicken salad, and fix them.
Dr. John and Dave Atwell, we actually have a place in Fayetteville, Arkansas, called Chick Salad. And they have the most amazing different flavors of different types of chicken salad you could ever imagine. It's amazing. They have like a barbecue chicken salad. They have, there's so many flavors. I can't even name them all and they have like the pimento cheese where you can get on the sandwiches too. And then they have, they have this little broccoli salad. They have this little pasta salad to go with your sandwich, you know, and stuff. And, I mean, it's amazing what kind of flavors of chicken salad that this place has.
Oh my God, that's now, Granny, you're talking my language. I'm gonna have to come on out to.
Well,
I'm
honey, if you ever come to our, if you ever come make it to Arkansas, Dr. John, I will have to take you to that place so you can have some chicken salad.
Well, I will, and I'm sorry we're talking about it. It is an institution around here. It is, but anyway, Dave. So there's my chicken salad tribute. But no, it's so we've had a great ride. I think Comic-Cons are going to do well again, but I think we're going to be really looking at the larger towns like Jacksonville, Raleigh. I've got one scheduled in Raleigh on first weekend of May. Now write that one down, Danger Dave. First weekend in May is going to be Raleigh. I'll let you know more about that, okay?
Okay, nope.
Sounds
good.
I can't think of not. Oh, you were there with me for the first
steampunk
Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah, you
yes,
know,
you
I had so much fun at that show. And that was another one of those odd shows that should not have been successful, but it was. And when I say should not have, I didn't mean that in a derogatory sense.
I know.
But,
I know. I guess what one thing we got to say is the Ramada Inn in Raleigh is not that big, and they don't charge me an arm and a leg. So if we have about 300 people come to something, I mean, it looks like the World's Fair, and that's why I like it. And so I mean, Cindy, you know, it was funny. So I called up the Ramada Inn. I called up Cindy, the manager, who's a very good friend of mine. And so I said, Cindy, this is John Stamey. She said, all right, when are you coming up? I said, what? She said, well, you're coming up. She said, you're coming up to do an event. I said, yeah, sure. She said, all right, when? I said, well, I couldn't do it till after April. All right, well, I got the first weekend in May, so I'm going to go ahead and write you down. And that was the end of the conversation. I didn't even have a chance to say yes.
Yeah, that's telling it itself.
So we got to figure out what we're going to do, probably a toy show, and probably, you know, have some fun guests and stuff like that. So we'll see. I got five months to get going on that, because between now and then I got to get Jacksonville, I got to get Georgia Bigfoot Conference and Havelock, and so we just got a lot to do, but that's okay. You know what? In the Comic-Con world, I love it because the people are so nice, Dave. They really are. Don't you think? Oh, and I'm gonna give a plug for the Comic-Con vendors. You know, we're talking about Marilyn, that sweet lady who has those crocheted things. We're talking about Jose, who has all those Funko Pops. We're talking about the Boyd brothers doing their video and stuff. I mean, we got some of the nicest people in the world coming to Comic-Cons, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, what happens is you start becoming family. And I think that was something I was missing the most with this whole COVID monkey business, is that I was used to seeing and, you know, as I've mentioned before, there's a lot of people on the Comic-Con circuit that I talk to more than I do members of my family or my neighbors. And they're good folks. You look forward to seeing them. And, you know, that was the good thing about going down to Myrtle Beach for Grand Strand just here recently, because, you know, we went in there and set everything down and ran around the building and was high-fiving a bunch of people I knew. And, you know, that evening we were able to go out and break bread together and everything. And, yeah, that's – pardon the flight here over me. I'm Sounds of Freedom. And I go over.
I mean,
there we go.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll tell you something. I mean, I made some really great new friends, like Craig Hipkins. He's an author. I've already had him on ScaryCast talking about meteors and fireballs. He's got a book about that. Of course, my new buddy, Boris. Do you know Boris?
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll explain to Granny and everybody else a little bit about Boris.
We can't talk about Boris because he's a secret agent. He is a double agent. He is.
So here's what happened. I'm coming up there for the Jacksonville Christmas Pop Shop and Toy Show. And I told Kyler, I'd picked him up from the airport. I said, well, Kyler, what we have to do is we have to go meet a Russian arms dealer from Uruguay, South America, and I've got to do a cash transaction with him. And he said, what? So we drove to Chocowinee, North Carolina, which is, I mean, not even on the map. I mean, whatever. So it's just some little town, and I meet him in a park in Food Lion parking lot, and I hand him like $800, and he gives me knives, pepper spray, all kinds of crap. And Kyler looked at me and said, you weren't joking. I said, no, I told you I was meeting a Russian arms dealer from Uruguay. But then he has his little kid, Caleb, who I think is about 4 years old, and he had given Caleb about a pound and a half of chocolate. And Caleb was bouncing all over that car. It was just too funny. I mean, no, Boris is a very nice person. Got a good business, but it was just, it's just too funny. The great people, the really great people that we meet. And so I'm just reeling and rocking and got vendors already coming to Jacksonville on the 18th of February.
Throw out there for everybody listening how deep things get sometimes. We, you know, going back to what Dr. John was just speaking on with the steampunk show, went in there with the book series, and I was kind of like in a hallway, in a side hall for this Ramada, where we're at and everything. Well, sitting across from me, I had Strode on one side of me, and I had a young actor, writer, artist, producer named Will Williams sitting across the way.
Will.
And we got to shooting the breeze, and within 45 minutes to an hour, you'd have thought we'd known each other for our whole damn lives. And that evening, we actually watched a couple films that evening. If I recall, we watched something that Stroh was in, and then we watched Rob Underhill's The Effect. Help me out with it. What's the
It is the movie about the Carrington Effect. The Carrington event.
I keep wanting to say the Clementine Effect, and I know it's not Clementine, but yeah, Carrington Effect, which was an excellent film. And it was so funny because me and Will are sitting there together, and every time I go to the bar to get me another beer, I bring him one. And I'm putting him down, and he's got all these beers lined up on the ledge. And I went to go pick some of the bottles up, because I've been trained, Marine Corps training, you never leave empty-handed. So if you're walking somewhere and you have nothing in your hands, you're burning daylight. There's always a piece of trash you got to pick up. There's always something you can be doing. So I go to the bar to get another beer for me and him, and I go to pick up some of these bottles. Well, all these bottles are full. And when I shook them, I was like, well, damn. And I looked at him and I says, you got some drinking to do, young man. And he looked at me and goes, I just can't keep up with your ass, man. But we ended up hitting it off. And, I mean, still to this day. And you said it was 2015 when you threw that show. Here it is 7 years later. We still keep up with ourselves, each other regularly. And he is still.
Was it really 2015? Wow. It's been a long time.
Yeah, so we had Antler Hill there playing. We had them there, and I'll never forget the next morning. That Sunday, I say morning, it was more of an afternoon, when I came out into the lobby and I heard somebody playing the piano, playing the Godfather theme on the piano. And y'all know how I am about the Godfather. I feel like it's probably the greatest film ever made. And I turn around, and it's actually Anthony Dowling's wife playing on this big grand piano playing The Godfather. I'm like, holy balls, man, is this really happening? But we had Tiffany Beckler there. That's when she showed up with that steampunk with the grandfather clock and all that jazz.
Yeah, look. When I first saw her, I thought it was a building, and it was a grandfather clock. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, everybody was just having the time of their life. And, you know, they're all, as a matter of fact, Vaughn. Vaughn was there, and Ryan was there, because we had, we were reviewing their sitcom for Amazon when they were making Vaughn. I want to say Mike Roberts was there, too, if I'm not mistaken. But these are all people that I still talk to regularly, and it was all because of that event. It was all because of that
yeah,
one con.
It was just a lot of fun, and yeah. You know, and I can say that Havelock, we had a really great crowd. The only thing that I'll say about Havelock, it was just, you know, I guess Comic-Cons are a little more rushed now, and we had a lot more people there. It wasn't quite the leisurely time that we had, but I mean, it was still just a lot of fun, and we had a great time, and we'll be back in Raleigh. I gotta figure out what kind of theme we're gonna have, but we're gonna do something, because Cindy, I didn't have any choice. She said, "Here's your date." Yes, ma'am. So we're gonna have an event in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I love Raleigh. I got my doctorate at North Carolina State. Just love the place. I need to start seeing what we can do to get a lot of the NC State cats over there and just enjoy it and have a great time. So the Comic-Con scene, I believe, is looking good, and we're fortunate that it is, and so we'll just keep moving along. And
yeah.
Now I don't know. We got a lot of work to do, but that's okay. I'm just glad to be able to do it and all that. So anyway, that's what I guess that's the state of the Comic-Con world for us. It's looking good and doing well, and we just got to keep at it to let it continue to grow, and hopefully we can get Chrissy Lessie up there in Raleigh with us. She's always a lot of fun. That girl always has a lot of fans. She's a great writer. She always has a lot of fans just wherever. You know, Dave, I mean, just wherever she is, she seems to know everyone.
Yeah, she has a her book series is about a coven of witches that actually are trying to infiltrate the Beaufort Historical Society, because apparently Blackbeard had some type of mystical item that went down with the Queen Anne's Revenge. And when the Queen Anne's Revenge was found right off the coast here, probably about an hour from the house here, according to the story, that item was pulled up with some of the other artifacts with the shipwreck. And as a matter of fact, Blackbeard, Edwin Peach house is right on the Beaufort waterfront. If you're standing there by, there's a little strip mall right there, and there's the candy place with all the homemade fudge on the right-hand side, and you're probably 50 yards away across the water from Shackleford Bay and Shackleford Island, where they have the famous Shackleford ponies that were stranded there back in the 1600s by Spanish ships. And these horses can actually drink salt water, because over the years they have evolved, and they stay right there on the island. You can actually rent canoes, and they even have skiffs that will, you know, take you across for $5. But you can go across to the island, put out a lawn chair, and sit right there on the island, and those horses will be 10 feet from you and won't bother you a bit. But if you turn to your left, right there at the waterfront, you turn to the left, and you go maybe about half mile to your left, You will find the home, former home, because, of course, he's not living there now, of Blackbeard the Pirate. So a lot of the stuff that Chrissy put in her book, the Crystal Coast series, if you've ever been in Beaufort, you recognize as she's telling the tale where these places are at, and it adds a lot to the tale. So, and she's a fantastic lady. Love her to death. Her whole family are good people. We've had Jeff here on the show. As a matter of fact, he joins us every Father's Day for Dad Joke Father's Day. And truth be told, me and him hit it off before I even talked to her. That's the kind of guy he is. He's just a heck of a good guy. And can't say enough good about that Lessie crowd. They're just, every now and then you meet a family that just kind of makes you feel good every time you see them. That's them. They're good people. And again, would never have met them had it not been for the cons. So,
In other words, that's not the kind of family that you're always glad to meet at the funeral.
No, yes. As many families as I'm trying to avoid these days, the Lessies are definitely not one of them. They're the ones I often go run up to, and I'm like, hey, let me stand here with you guys. Trying to avoid that over there.
They're
classy bunch, man.
Well, that's great. Yeah, well, we hope we'll get her over there. I guess I better start planning it tonight before I go to bed. I've got to send out invitations to the Jacksonville Comic Con so people can start getting their tables, because they're going to be in short supply. I've already got 8 of them sold, and I haven't even announced anything. I mean, I had a guy call me today. He said, "Now, do I have my table?" I said, "Don't worry, you got your table. Just register online, but you got it. Don't worry." So yeah, I mean, people are getting fast and furious about this, and I'm very excited about that. I think Jacksonville is going to be an incredible Comic-Con, like it was back when we were doing it, and it was even not so bad when we did it at the Murder Lodge. Dave, would you tell everybody about the Murder Lodge? Would you please recount the story?
Yes, the Murder Lodge is a unique building here in Jacksonville. It has been, I'm just going to say it's unique. And it actually turned to a red carpet inn, which, of course, I renamed the Red Room.
No, Dave. It was actually the Dead Carpet Inn. A little joke there.
Yeah. I mean, the good news is they went in there and cleaned all the bloodstains out of the carpet before we got there. You know, Dr. John had to run and get a hazmat suit from Lowe's and about 18, 19 gallons of Clorox and other cleaning agents to get the...
Let me go ahead and tell everybody what I did get is I got a 6-pack of Lysol spray. And I sprayed all 6 canisters of that into the carpet. And then we left, and we went to eat dinner, and I went and tried to pass it. I didn't dare get under the covers of that mattress. But I remember going downstairs, and I walked in, and I said, "Well, this place doesn't smell so bad at all." By 4 o'clock it did, so I was just glad that we were out of the Murder Lodge. I mean,
yeah, that was the point when I went out there, and there was like millions of cigarette butts. And I happened to look down, and they're all Marlboro, right? And you know me, I ain't got to say it. In retail management for 30-plus years, Dale hates shopping with me because you'll see me walking around the store, and I'm bending over, picking up trash. I'm straightening shelves, and she's like, "You know, will you stop? You don't work here." And I'm like, "I can't stand this shit. Does somebody see the dust up there?" And, you know, I'm up there running my hand across it, hitting the dust. I'm like, "God, will somebody take care of this, please? This is God, Jesus, you know." Well, so, of course, something I have a huge problem with is cigarette butts. And why do I have a problem with cigarette butts? Glad you asked. because of all the tobacco use on the planet, if you dip, you'll see people spitting in the Mountain Dew bottles. And I know it's gross, but they're spitting in the Mountain Dew bottles. They put the cap on the bottle. They throw it in the garbage can. Pipe smokers will often carry a Ziploc bag with them and bang their pipes out in a Ziploc bag and put the old Cavendish, fold it up, put it in their pocket. When they find a trash can, they'll throw it out. Cigar smokers, we dab out our cigars and we dispose of them correctly in either the trash or a sand pit or something to that effect. But cigarette smokers, for some reason, feel absolutely damn compelled to fling those cottons wherever they're standing. So anyhow, when I see cigarette butts, it just irks the hell out of me. Now, what's worse than seeing cigarette butts on the ground is the fact that knowing that somebody has to have a goddamn broom within 50 yards of that place and could be sweeping that garbage up, right? So I go up to the hotel, and I mean, it's just littered with Marlboro butts, and I'm like, good. Yeah, somebody got a freaking broom in this place. Just about that time, the door opens up, and the manager of the place walks out and goes, hey, good, I'm glad to see you here, man. You ready for the event? Takes a drag off of a Marlboro, flicks it right at my feet, and then I knew the source of all the Marlboro cigarettes. I said, it's the guy in charge of flopping this place up, for God's sake. But, yeah,
well, there you go, Dave.
We had plenty of room. When you talk about the hall itself that we were in, the building itself, I liked the room. I thought the room was the right shape, right size. I thought the room was fine, but all the nifty stuff that happens at your typical hotel here in the fine metropolis of Jacksonville. You remember when the cops pulled up because that guy was beating the piss out of his girlfriend on the first floor? And
I'm sorry, Dave. I'd forgotten about that.
The interesting little things that happen at the venue you throw a Comic-Con at. But good news is the Murder Lodge is now shut down, and the sign, I think, says something about reopening soon under new management. And I'm like, yeah. New management ought to have a damn wrecking ball. And if there was ever a good place for an explosion or a meteor strike, it would damn sure be that. But, yeah, I tell you what, man, if speaking on the Havelock show, the folks in Havelock, like I was telling people at the show, I told them, I says, look, I humped all the way out here from Jacksonville for you guys. So come February, you hump from Havelock here to Jacksonville to see me. And I'm hoping that all the enthusiasm that those folks in Havelock were showing would be enough enthusiasm to get them to jump in the car and drive the quick, you know, hour, 45 minutes, give or take, to Jacksonville to enjoy the show we're going to have there. So,
well, we will make sure that starting next week, we'll make sure it is properly advertised. Jacksonville Chambers, very excited. The tourism division is very excited. You know, we got 8 game shops there, which will be good. And Havelock, we only had 3. And so, you know, we've got a lot of folks. And plus, we've got Camp Lejeune, Camp Geiger, and Camp Vogue that we can draw from. And just got to get the word out to those fine Marines that keep us safe, sound, and keep people like Kim Jong-un out of the, you know, you might can complain about Donald Trump. You might can complain about Joe Biden, but we don't have a Kim Jong-un in there who wants to torture you and kill you. So we are very fortunate to have our noble Marines keep us safe. And I don't care who knows. I don't care what anybody says. I'm a big fan of our armed forces. And, you know, I'm just proud that the Marines and the Army are both going to have recruiting booths at the Jacksonville Comic-Con. They've already heeded the call, and they're going to be doing it. So I'm just glad to have them there, Dave.
Yeah, it's going to be a good show. and really looking forward to it. Right now, working on drumming up some talent we can get out there. And so I'm trying to get hold of some of our Walking Dead crowd and our other friends in the entertainment industry, be it wrestling and acting and films and TV and music,
I mean,
and everything else.
In terms of Walking Dead, I've already asked Sonya Thompson, who is the most famous lady zombie of all time. She was on the
Absolutely.
Front cover of Entertainment Magazine at the beginning of season 2 of The Walking Dead, and she's trying to see if she can get up there for us. I would love to have her. I mean, you talk about one popular lady. People love to go meet Sonya Thompson.
Yeah, she actually throws a zombie class where she will teach you how to be a zombie, will actually certify you to be a zombie, and most importantly, will even job placement you for
she'll help you.
Now granted, with The Walking Dead, you know, with the show kind of drying up, don't know how things are going to roll after that, but I mean, they're still, just because The Walking Dead has gone off doesn't mean that there's not a demand for survival horror type stuff. And she's such a super lady. She is just a very, very sweet lady. And when you meet her, you're like, you were a zombie? I mean, because she's...
And then she'll do it for you. She'll scare the dickens out of you.
She will. She will scare the straight piss out of you if you ain't careful, man. It's something else. But, yeah, I mean, that's where if we can, and I'm going to say it, and I'll say it a million times, whether anybody wants to listen or not, if you piss and moan about there's never anything to do, okay, or I have to drive to Merle or to Raleigh for a Comic-Con, okay, when we're having one local, and I don't care if it's held in a school gymnasium or held in Dodger Stadium, when somebody is throwing one, get your butt out there and support it. And you don't have to dump 2 months worth of pay there, but go, because the more people that go, the more excitement that's stirred up. Throwing cons, I know a lot of people like to feel like cons are one of these, you know, where there's a guy behind a curtain sitting on a stack of gold coins going, whoa. The bigger cons might be that. You know, there's a possibility the bigger cons are more akin to that kind of, behavior. But I could tell you, if you saw the behind the scenes of Dr. John, if you saw the behind the scenes of the Millers, when we're setting these cons up and you find out just how much labor and how much personal time that these people put into the organization, these things, when you go in there and you pay your $10 gate admission fee, you'll understand that 95% of that throw in the next show, and usually the 5% is the 5% you need in the bank just in case something happens.
But I'll tell you what, it is a lot of fun.
It's self-sustainable if you allow it to be, and if you don't show up and there's never one again, because what happens is when you don't show up, other promoters will stop and go, hey, well, you know what? So-and-so threw one there last year, and it didn't do anything, so I'm not going to throw one there. So when these events come to your town, go. So
that's right. Well, Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con, I'll say this. We are members of all three local area chambers. We're members of Jacksonville Chamber of Commerce, the Havelock Chamber of Commerce, and the Crystal Coast Chamber of Commerce, which is now, well, actually the Carteret County Chamber of Commerce in Moorhead City and Swansboro. So we got the whole area covered. They're excited about working with us, and I can't thank them enough. I mean, it's just great having them on the team. They're all excited. I've got to get up there, and in fact, I'll just say this: Carteret County Chamber of Commerce wants me to come up in January to talk about sponsorships for the Jacksonville Comic Con. And I mean, you know, it's like, so Joyce calls me up. She says, "Are you going to come up here to do this?" "Yes, ma'am. I guarantee you, I'll be up there to talk about sponsorships for my big Comic Con." So you know, it's just like, it's great that they're all behind us and everything. And I like the family. And I'm going to tell Dave, I got to tell a quick story. And you've heard this story about 50 times. It is my single favorite Comic-Con story in the world. Do you mind listening once more?
You're all ahead, because Granny might not have heard it. So
well,
let
okay,
it real.
So here's what happened. So we're at the very first Jacksonville Comic-Con at the Marriott Courtyard, okay? And it was about 1 o'clock, and this young Marine came up with his wife and two kids in the double-wide stroller. He said, "Who's the owner of this thing?" I said, "Well, sir, I am. How can I help you?" He said, "I wanted you to know something. I am so happy that you have put on an event that doesn't revolve around a tattoo parlor, a strip club,
yep,
or a bar, and the fact that it has family-oriented entertainment that I can be proud to bring my wife and my kids to, and I don't have to worry. And I wanted to say thank you." The man shook my hand, gave me a hug, and that is the most profound moment of my life in running Comic-Cons. I said, "You know what? This is what I want to do the rest of my life. I'm not trying to make a lot of money, as long as I can make enough money to put it on and keep going. But you know what? If I can serve our armed forces and get reactions like that, then to me that's worth one solid $1 million every time I hear that." And do you know what, Dave? That was not the only time I heard that day. I heard it about 4 o'clock, same thing. Must have been his friend, but it was just absolutely wonderful to get the real feedback from these guys, and that it was a good thing, and it made me feel good about what we were doing. You know what? So then the Army calls me up and wants me to have one. Well, Dave, do you know what I did?
You hooked them up.
Oh, not only did I hook them up, they bought 3 tables. So I immediately called my buddy Ike, who is the manager of GameStop, and he is a non-active duty Marine. And I said, "Ike, who is the Marine recruiter up here?" He said, "Oh, that's Sergeant whatever." I said, "I want his number now." He said, "Why?" I said, "The Army just got a table, and we're across the street from Cherry Point, and I won't have the Army there without the Marines." And he laughed. He said, "John, he will call you tomorrow." And at 9 o'clock in the morning, I got a call from the Marine recruiter in Havelock. He said, "What is this about an event you want us at?" And I explained to it. He said, "Oh, my God, we're in an office right next to him." I said, "Don't you dare tell him you're coming for free, or I'll kill you." He laughed. He said, "Promise I won't," because the Army paid, but the Marines didn't. And that's just the way it is. Marines not going to pay. If they're coming to my Comic-Con, it's not going to happen. Because, again, thank you, Marines, for keeping us safe. So there's that story.
Yeah.
You heard my two stories about why I love doing this event in the Jacksonville and Havelock and Morehead City areas. Because you know what? That is what life's all about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's you know, again, it's sustainability. And, you know, Granny Hulkster, I'm sure you've been to wrestling events in the past where they throw the event and it's a less than sustainable turnout. And, you know, you go there and, you know, you see a lot of empty seats. And then 6 months to a year later, you hear people talk to you, go, hey, are they going to throw one in so-and-so burg again? And you're like, no, because you asked, didn't show up. So,
well, let me share. I mean, I've never, you know, put on a Comic-Con like you all have, or, you know, but I have been to them. I mean, in March of this year, we had the Northwest Arkansas Comic-Con, and that's where I got to meet Booker T and Ted DiBiase for the very first time.
Ah, cool.
And that was absolutely amazing, you know. Well, when we went to WrestleCon, when we went to WrestleMania with our friend from New York, you know, we went to WrestleCon one day. And, of course, the professional wrestlers that knew me, they were all happy to see me. But the professional wrestlers, like from WWE, AEW, that had never met me, because I had wore my original granny shirt that day to Comic-Con, the looks and the comments that I was getting from people that were there, from the wrestlers that were there. I mean, Heath Slater took a picture of me, and I didn't even know it. And I'm like, dude, you could have at least taken a selfie with me, you know. And I got to talk to Nick Aldis. Well, of course, I know his wife, Mickie James. I had met Mickie when she came to wrestle at Traditional Championship Wrestling back in 2012. And, you know, of course, Nick Aldis in that accent of his, you know, he says, oh, Granny, you'd be heartbroken if you had to boo me. And I said, oh, no, I wouldn't, Nick Aldis. Well, I'm personal friends with Tim Storm and Trevor Murdoch, which he both knows personally because he has wrestled against both of them, you know, in the NWA. Well, and he says, well, I guess I'm going to have to tell Trevor and Tim Storm that I met the world-famous Granny Holster. And, I mean, the people from Fight TV actually did an interview with me. Well, we were standing around talking, you know, and, of course, we met Jeff Hardy and Brooke Hogan, and Brooke says, oh, I got to tell my dad about you. You're absolutely amazing. Lillian Garcia. Well, we saw JBL and Ron Simmons there. And, of course, I had met Ron and Tony Atlas a few years ago at an autograph signing over in Oklahoma. And Ron asked me, he says, Granny, when was that when we first met? And I told him, he says, oh, yeah. He says, well, you go down and tell Booker that John and Ron said you could have any piece of merchandise you wanted for free. So I go down and see Booker. And I said, Booker, I got a message from you from JBL and Rod. You know, they said to tell you that I could have anything, any piece of merchandise that you had for sale for free. He said, well, you tell those boys to get their butts down here. You know, of course, by the time I got back down there, they were already gone. And of course, I ran into Lance Archer, who wrestles for AEW. Well, I knew him as Lance Hoyt back in the day of Traditional Championship Wrestling. He says, Granny, when are you coming to AEW? I said, when are you coming to Arkansas? You know, AEW comes to Arkansas, you might see Granny there, but you've got to come to Arkansas first. And, of course, I had met, I had met so many people that day. And, of course, I was, I got to meet Mike Rotunda. That was really cool. And, we got to see Jake Roberts again. Of course, I've known Jake from TCW too. But Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, I got the opportunity to talk to them. Pretty awesome, you know, and everything. And it was just amazing the comments that I got. So my friend that we went to WrestleMania, he's going to WrestleMania 39 in Los Angeles. And I was talking to him tonight. I said, you know, I keep seeing these things talking about WrestleCon in Los Angeles next year. He says, Granny, don't be surprised if somebody calls you from WrestleCon and wants you out there in L.A. I said, well, they want to send me a plane ticket and let me set up a table and pay for my hotel room. I said, I'll fly out to Los Angeles. I'll get some merchandise made up. But I said, I can only do cash money, people. You know, you got to pay everything to me by cash. But it was so amazing, the the comments and the looks that I got from people that were looking at my shirt. I mean, I had these two guys from Ireland come up and ask to get their picture with me. You know, I'm like, hey, I'm just a fan, just like you all. And I'm no wrestler. You know, I'm no famous celebrity, but I guess if you consider when you hear the name Granny Hulkster in Arkansas and Oklahoma, you know, and now Texas, everybody knows there's a lot of people who knows who Granny Hulkster is. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty weird. Like I said, I'm just, you know, because I know JBL and Hacksaw Jim Duggan is coming to the Comic-Con that we're going to be having in January of next year, January 14th and 15th in good old Rogers, Arkansas. So I am planning on, even if I don't go see anybody else at that Comic-Con, those two people I am definitely going to go see. And I actually contacted my good friend James Beard down in Texas because I have his book entitled The Third Man. And of course, he's personal friends with JBL and Hacksaw. I'm sure, you know, I know he knows Hacksaw as well, too. But I told him, I said, you need to come to Rogers and sell your book there. Yeah. I said, I'm sure they'll put you and James and Hacksaw all close together, you know. But, you know, it's like, but I was so amazed. And when the people from WrestleCon, when the people from Fight TV asked to do an interview with me, I mean, they actually, and after the interview, they actually talked about me in that video. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I was so humbled by it that, you know, it was just absolutely amazing.
But, you know, that's part of the experience right there. And before you know it, you get on first-name basis, and that's the thing I enjoy the most about these smaller shows. And when I say smaller shows, that's certainly not a disparaging word to use. But they're more engaging. And you don't feel like you're just getting passed through, okay, hand me your $150, there's handshake, there's autograph, next. When you go to these medium to smaller shows, the engagement level is so much different. And before you know it, you know, you frequent the shows and everything, people will remember you because I know myself from doing XCon and that kind of stuff. There are, and that moan was Misty, my Mastiff. That was not me making that moan, just to make sure, just to kind of clear
you
that
sure
up.
You sure about that, my day?
Yeah, they heard you, Misty. So I don't want them thinking that was mine. That was you making that racket. But I'm not going to rub your paws right now. I'm doing the show. Okay, thank you.
Hi, Misty. Oh, sweet baby.
I tell you, this dog's so spoiled, she'll walk up and will hand you her paws and wants you to rub her paws and scratch her legs for her, and then she switches paws. It's like, come on. For real?
Oh.
But, hey. But,
Dave, stop. It sounds like she's got you trained.
Yeah, she does.
Hello,
yeah, these dogs.
You're such a pretty baby. You're such a pretty fur baby.
They got their dad. I know that, don't they? Yeah, you do. But, you know, what will happen is you have a lot of these guys that will recognize you. And it's pretty neat. It's a great experience for the fan to be at a show and have an artist or a wrestler or an actor or a singer or whatever, you know, go, hey, what's up, Joe? And it adds to the experience, and that, again, is what Comic-Cons are all about. It's about having fun, you know, and again, the bigger cons, you know, arguably, they're a little more about the fiduciary things, whereas you go to these medium to small cons, and it's more about the engagement and the fan experience. So, you know, over and over and over and over, I have preached about...
And Dave, I'm going to interrupt you just one second. For me, I feel that way about the vendors. It's like I go around at least two to three times, just all vendors, well, how you doing? You know, is it going good? And don't tell me what's going on. And you know what? I get the same feeling that you're, when you're talking about the fan, how the fans like talking to the vendors. You know, I like talking to the vendors too. They're like kind of like, you know, kind of part of my fan club, and they're really great. So, you know, you're right. It's really a kind of a family thing. You know, getting together with everybody. It is.
And you know, as on the vendors' tip, granted, now the vendors, yeah, they're concerned about making a buck, so they're there to sell things. I mean, that is their livelihood. But on the flip side, again, if you get to know these vendors well enough, they're happy to see you. And you'd be amazed at how much, and it's just speaking from my side of the table, I know there have been times when I've seen people come up and, you know, they're admiring something that I've got, or they bring a friend and they're, hey, look, this is the guy I was talking about type thing. Hey, if I've got something I could throw at them, I'm throwing it at them. And you'd be amazed the amount of loot you could walk out of a Comic-Con with for a limited amount of investment. So, again, going there and supporting, and when I say supporting the con, it isn't going in there and dumping four digits. It's about buying a $10 ticket, walking around, and contributing to the excitement of the event. You know, when they're having the cosplay contest, clap. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. When if you add to the engagement level of it, all debt's paid. And that's what we need more of. That's what we look forward to. And for me, that's the rewarding side of it. I mean, you know, I know sometimes people go to these shows and they feel starstruck sometime, but just the same, I get the same way when I have people come up to my table and go, hey, I wanted to shake your hand because I read your book. And for me, I'm just a regular dude. And all I am is a guy who sat down with a laptop and typed out what my imagination was telling me. I have no specific,
you know what,
school.
Dave, I got to tell you something, because you know I'm an author, and I try to sell my books whenever I'm there. And I had a guy buy my book at the first Jacksonville MiniCon. And he came up to me in Havelock. He said, I finally finished your book. And that was really good. And I didn't know what to say other than thank you. I mean, it's like, oh my God, somebody actually read Look Up in the Sky, third edition, and said it was really good. I was like starstruck by this person. I'm not going to say
it
because he actually...
Yeah, so I mean, that's the type of experience that you'll find at these shows. That's, Misty, that's the kind of experience that these shows are all about. And that's why I can't preach enough
you're
to
right.
get
you're,
out.
You're 100% right. Because, I mean that really is the way
it is. Is if you have a particular skill set, matter of fact, I was speaking to a young lady tonight that has that's forever drawing stuff, posting on Facebook, and she was telling me she was in a bad car wreck just here recently. And as a result of being in the car accident, she wasn't able to work. And you know how corporate America is. They don't give you no grade. They don't give you no quarter. She lost her job because she wasn't able to work because of the car accident. And she unfortunately has to wait 3 months for her unemployment to kick in. So the poor thing, and I told her, I says, what about your art? She says, well, what about my art? And I says, well, A, put it on Etsy like I'm doing with my art and get things rolling, and B, start doing it. And I said, and we're throwing this con coming up here. I said, get your stuff out there. You'd be amazed at what people are into. And before you know it, you might find another way of making income that doesn't involve punching in and out for the man. So if you have some type of creativity, if you like to write music, if you like to draw, if you like to paint, if you like to sculpt, even if you make the cosplay outfits, God, if you only knew the amount of popularity that cosplay has right now in these cons and everything, bring the stuff, get a table, put it out there, spend $12 on some business cards on what the hell's that print site that everybody goes to. Get some
Vista
business
print.
Cards printed. There you go, VistaPrint. And invest in yourself and get it on out there, because you never can tell. All it takes is the right person to dig your work. It only takes one, and before you know it, it opens a million doors. And, you know, my relationship with Dr. Khan is the perfect example of it. All I did was call him one day to get a table. And here we are 7 years later, shooting the breeze on the podcast. Yeah. So, I mean, an endless amount of things can happen. So whatever you do, don't stifle your creativity. Don't talk about doing it. Do it and get out there with it. Ain't nobody going to tell you no.
That's exactly right. Well, I tell you what, Dave, I told you I got to talk to some folks
to
about at 10:15. So I'm going to jump off here, and I'm going to say thanks for having me, and I'll see y'all next. I'll see you and Granny and Mitt and the whole bunch next week. Okay.
Hey, sounds good. Appreciate you joining us this evening. Great conversation.
All
and
right.
I will talk to
bye.
You.
Thank you, Dr. John. Have a great week.
And bye, Granny. You be good, and talk to y'all real soon.
All right.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you in a bit. Well, Granny, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to walk Misty out here for her end of the night pee session. Figure me and you can do some pudding. Go on, Miss. Lord have mercy. I swear it's like old buffalo walking out the. There we go. All right. So, Granny, we'll go ahead and do some parting shots. I mean, it's already 10 after. We might as well go ahead and get after it. And if we cut the show a little short, so be it.
Yeah.
But you want to go ahead and start us off?
Well, I just, you know, hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and, you know, stay safe and, you know, just be kind to everybody, love each other and, you know, and I just, you know, so I've had a lot going on this past couple weeks. Things have been a little crazy here in the family household, you know, helping my son with some, you know, stuff, and it's just been kind of crazy, but, you know, it's the holiday season, and I just hope that, you know, everybody has a great rest of the week, and is, you know, I mean, we're like 11 days away from Christmas, people, you know, I mean, it's just around the corner, and I just, you know, I'm like I said, I'm sorry I called in a few minutes late, had to take care of some personal stuff, but, and I wasn't sure who all was going to be on tonight, and I had kind of forgotten that you and Dr. John were going to be talking the Comic-Con stuff, you know, and so I'm glad I was able to call in and contribute to that conversation with my Comic-Con experiences, you know, be that as it may be, but so
yeah, it has been a hectic. I tell you, my last 6 weeks. Now, granted, you know, yeah, I've spoken with you and everybody here on the show before about how, you know, November I've got my anniversary, Thanksgiving, two dog birthdays, then my son and my wife's birthday, all in a span of like 20 days. So I already know that back half of November, come on, miss, back half of November is always going to be hairy. But in between, in my infinite wisdom, I've tried to squeeze four Comic-Cons and some other things in, and actually got home last week, opened up the mailbox, and had an envelope for jury duty summons. And I was
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I knew I had to get the new pup fixed this week. So I was like, oh, my God, how in the hell am I going to do all this? So with God's grace, I got passed on jury duty. They didn't call us in this week, so I got 2-year mulligan with that, and that saved the day because we had to take Violet on to go ahead and get her little procedure done today. And I told my son when we were picking her up, I says, you know, I'll be honest with you. I says, I'm running harder being retired than I ever did working, at least ways when I worked. I just went straight to work, worked an 18-hour day, and I let everything around me just go to hell. I didn't care if my house was filthy and my yard was neck high and, you know, weeds. I just take care of work and go home, sleep, go back to work again. I says, now that I'm semi-retired, it just does not stop. I mean, you are constantly bouncing off the walls, man.
I know.
It is crazy.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like a situation with my mom. You know, she applied for Medicaid, you know, because she did her spend down, you know, at the assisted living place she lived at, and Medicaid contacted her, and because my dad was in the military for 3 years, even though he didn't serve, I think he actually joined the Army after the Korean War and before the Vietnam War, so he served in the Army during what they called the peacetime, you know.
Right.
Well, we have to prove, or she has to prove, that she's not getting any kind of benefits. The Medicaid will approve her application. For the last 2 or 3 days, I've been helping my brother try to call some people, and my brother talked to somebody today, left a message, and hopefully he said they will call back tomorrow and talk to him. But my mom only has X amount of days to basically get this denial letter to Medicaid saying, like, I'm not eligible for anything. You know, so, I mean, it's just, and, you know, and my son, you know, he got a denial letter on his dual diagnosis application thing, you know, and the letter was dated December 2nd. He got the letter December 9th, and then he had 15 days to appeal it if he chose to do so. Well, it's really not going to do any good to try to appeal it. And I'm to the point where I'm about ready to tell these people in Little Rock, Arkansas, that I've been dealing with, like, okay, am I going to have to go before a judge to explain what's going on with my son just so I can try to get something done to help him? I mean, that's the way our system has become to be, unfortunately. And the people that really need the help can't get the help for
whatever reason. Well,
that's where my hectic schedule has been tied up with, you know. So
right, I mean, you've got so many people out there faking the funk. So what happens is that the infrastructure's got to put up a wall from getting bamboozled by people faking it, okay, people just wanting a handout.
Mm-hmm.
And that holds up people who legitimately need the help. Just the same, though, a lot of times with these walls becomes a little nefarious activity on the infrastructure's part, because they actually create delays for the sake that hoping you will give up and walk away. And
I agree. And it's just, it's kind of like the situation, you know, like my son's autism spectrum disorder was not recognized as a child. So the reason why they kept denying him was because it was not diagnosed before the age of 22. And they know, and it basically, the lady in Little Rock told me yesterday or the day before when I talked to her, whatever day it was, she's like, well, if the doctor that tested him for the autism spectrum disorder feels like his problems were related to autism, she didn't come out in so many words and basically say, you have to prove it. That's where she was going with this. You know, because his IQ is like, even though he's borderline intellectual disability, his IQ is right there at being almost mentally retardation. And some of the things that she was asking me was like, she had me so confused on so many things. I was like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? You know, I still am very confused about half of the things that she was telling me, what their guidelines were, why they made the decision, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. She says, okay, you contacted us, so don't worry about the 15-day time frame. You know, if you want to appeal it, you can, blah, 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 blah. But I know that it's, in the long run, it's not going to do any good to appeal it because they're going to find a way to come up with, okay, you know, and she's like, well, I don't know why the dual diagnosis application was even filed because he doesn't qualify for the dual diagnosis application. Do those people really know what they're doing? Do they, you know? And I'm just to the point where, like, I'm at the end of my rope because my concern is, once again, who's going to be there to help my son and guide my son along after my husband and I are gone? Nobody.
Yeah. Yeah. And the clock
and
is
I'm trying to, and yeah, and I'm trying to prevent these little problems that's going on right now from turning into bigger ones. And they don't seem to understand that. So I don't know, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, but I'm glad I could be on with you all tonight.
Yeah, it was great having you aboard. We miss our brothers, Todd and Tim. The workplace things are getting hairier and hairier for those gentlemen. So, you know, our thoughts are going out to them. And
Our thoughts need to go out to Velvet and Papa Stroh. And...
yeah, a lot of stuff going on. Now, Liz Brackett, I don't know if you ever spoke to Liz or not, Granny, but when Liz would come on, our queen of sparkle.
I think one time I was on and she was on with us, so.
Yeah, she might have signed on one time with us. Her and her wife just had a child this afternoon.
Oh, wow.
His name's Spencer. He's, 3 months premature, so he's got a little bit of road to plow. But, mm-hmm. My God, he's got a fighter's heart. He's going to pull on through. And, you know, as I said to her, modern-day medicine is a pretty amazing thing, and a lot can be done now. So best wishes to them, hoping them nothing
yes,
but
and prayers,
happy
and prayers for, prayers for all of them and prayers for the baby and definitely for sure.
But, yeah, it was definitely great to have you aboard this evening, and you know, always good to have you here. Now, next week – let me look at the calendar here. Let's see here. A week. Next week will be our
Christmas show. Yep.
So there's an outside possibility I will be doing that from the beach. We shall see.
From the beach. Oh, that sounds exciting. From the beach.
I know that's a raging pain in my ass, but... yeah, there's a possibility that we will be there at the old Airbnb, Verbo, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's pretty neat, and I got to hand it my daughter for her industrious thinking. We rent out this beach house, and it's amazing how everybody just keeps doing what they're doing. You know, Dale, she'll move her stuff into a room. And she'll drive to work and do her usual things. And then me and Rob, of course, split dog duty here at the house. And everybody has the ability to go there, have a good time, and usually at least one or two nights out of the week and a half they're down, we, you know, rock out, have more than a few drinks, laugh, cut up, carry on as a family and everything. So there's a possibility I will be out, weather permitting, out on the balcony, staring over the Atlantic Ocean, burning a damn cigar from Godfather Cigars and sucking down God knows what kind of alcoholic beverage. But, yeah, hopefully next week will be our Christmas show where we'll be able to get the crew together. I'm going to try to get a hold of Todd and see if he can at least ways break off for a couple of minutes to join us, because I'd like to have him here for our Christmas show. So looking forward to next week. But, yeah, Granny, definitely good to have you aboard. Wishing you nothing but luck for the upcoming week and all the mayhem that goes on. Hopefully you'll get a little break from the craziness. You know how it is. If you're anything like me, when things go good, you start getting scared. When things are going all the shit, yeah, you feel like you're right there where you belong. But when things are going good, you're like, okay.
Okay, when's the bomb going to drop? When's that bomb going to drop?
You are not alone. Good news scares the hell out of me. So great to have you aboard this evening. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
Real quick,
I try to do my best. I try to do my best to pop in when I can.
Absolutely. It's always good to have you pop in, for crying out loud. Great to have you here. And thoughts going to Barry Windham, too, and his recovery, speaking on the
young man is
in a pretty hairy situation, so I hope he comes around, because he comes from a very deep wrestling lineage. One of my favorite wrestlers was his dad, so he will pull through. Plus, he's a horseman, and anybody who's a horseman is good in my book. So, but on my side of things, just a quick thanks to Arise Pet Rescue, formerly known as Ruby's Misfits Pet Rescue here in Jacksonville, North Carolina. They have a pretty nifty setup that when you get a puppy or a non-neutered or spayed dog or cat, for that matter. I know I get my chops busted all the time for never including cats. I'm not a cat guy, so I don't include cats. Tough luck. That's just me. Nevertheless, when you, or dog, through their program, they will charge you a one-time fee, and that one-time fee will cover the expense of the spay and neutering, rabies shots, the microchipping, all that kind of stuff in your pet. And what they do is pretty amazing. You don't have to set the appointment. You don't have to hump to the vet. You don't have to do any of that stuff. What you do is you bring, they will text you when your pet reaches that six-month period, and or threshold, better yet. And they have a representative, and on a certain day you meet them at designated area. You drop off your pet. And they will take them to the vet and will handle everything for you. And they will call you and you meet them in the same spot and pick your pet back up. All of the rigor of scheduling and standing in line and listening to the dog bark for 3 or 4 hours straight takes all that off your plate. And the stuff that they do is pretty dang amazing. And we got to see Violet's brother today. And I tell you sometimes, and I hate like hell to say this. I don't hate like hell to say it. I'm pretty damn, let me go ahead and let my ego just bust on out here. I got some pretty damn dogs.
I love seeing the pictures of your dogs. I mean, I have two dogs of my own, and of course I do, and I like cats too. So I'm a dog and cat lover both, you know, but I mean, I've seen pictures of your fur babies, and they are absolutely beautiful. And I tell you, I would love to love on your fur babies because they're so sweet. That's why I had to say hello to Misty tonight. That's why I said had to say hello to Misty tonight. You know, such a sweet baby, you know. So.
Dale was actually looking at Christmas shirts for the dogs, and the 3X that they had to order was 36 inches around. And I told Dale, I says, Misty is 49 inches around in the chest. I said, just buy her a regular shirt because, I don't know if you recall last year when I had the pictures of the three of them wearing their Christmas shirts.
Mm-hmm.
Misty
mm-hmm.
was wearing a green Christmas shirt. That was actually Dale's shirt. It was Dale's shirt. And, Dale, of course, she's a Smurf, but she is rather blessed in other parts of her anatomy, which is part of the reason why I married her. Yeah, I'm busted. But nevertheless, pardon the play on words there. She put that shirt on Misty, and that shirt was tight on Misty. And I'm like, holy mackerel, what in the world? So, Misty is an absolute beast. But I tell you what, I couldn't have been blessed with four dogs that are as pretty as they are. They get along as good as they do. They're as behaved as well as they are. Just as loving. And you couldn't ask for four different dogs. I mean, when you come down to different personalities, you could not have four different dogs than what I do. And the three of them come from Arise Pet Rescue. And what they do is pretty damn amazing to me. So I just want to give a big tip of the hat. And so help me God, if I ever come into an amount of money where I'm able to sponsor something, they would probably be one of the first ones that come to mind helping them out because they do some amazing stuff. And, from what I understand, I don't know how true it is, Sadie, my shadow, the little chocolate lab, from what I understand, she was a day away from getting the needle. And I get shook up when I talk about it. But they went to the pound, and they got her. They made a special trip out there. The pound called and said, hey, look, we've got this one here. It's getting close. And they said, we'll be there. And they picked her up, and she stayed there to rescue for about 3 weeks. And that's when Dale went to an event they had and found her and brought her home. And now Sadie is like my sidekick, man. She is my best bud. And the thought of me losing out on that level of unconditional love is just devastating to even remotely think about.
Well, so, like my son's little dog, you know, he came from the animal shelter and he was back there in a little cage by himself, and all the other cages around him were all surrounded by cats, and he was a whole whopping 6 pounds. He was 10 weeks old. His little kennel mate had been adopted 2 days before him. And this was in December. It was December 14th. And we went back there, and my husband, he opened the cage door, and out popped that little puppy right inside my husband's work coat. Like, you're taking me home tonight. So we played with him, and we put him back. And, of course, he started, yip, 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 you know, because he's a Chihuahua mix. Well, I called the shelter the next day, and they were actually closed. But they said, if your son wants to adopt him, bring him up, and we'll let him take him home. So I took my son up there the next day, and we brought Mysterio home. And that little dog is 11 years. He turned 11 years old in October. That little dog has been the best companion for my son. And I don't
Absolutely.
Know the day ever comes. So people out there, if you want to think about getting a pet, whether it be a dog or a cat, go to your local rescue places. Go to your local animal shelters. Because you know what? A rescued animal is the best kind of animal that there is, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they totally get it. And unless you have a rescue pet, And of course, when you say rescue, I love it when people go, oh, I rescued that dog. It ain't like you went out there, you know, you flew over in a helicopter and you dropped the damn basket down and they jumped in the basket and you flew it. No, it's not, you know, not like you're a freaking lifeguard or something. But when you go to a pet rescue, you'd be amazed. Those dogs just have a totally, and cats, sorry, dogs and cats, have a totally different persona about them. They seem to get it. They seem to know that, hey, I've seen a lot of shit, and I know I got a good here, and by God, this is home for me. And, you know, I've said it more than once, you know, Misty was adopted, you know, one of those ones where a friend had puppies and they were giving them away. So Misty was, you know, adopted, as the pet jargon goes. And then Sadie, Mika, and Violet were all from the pet rescue. These animals, you rescue them, they rescue you back.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
You go get them one day, and one day you go there, you sign the paper, and you, air quote, rescue them. And for the rest of their existence, every day you come home, they rescue you. And it's hard to describe. I never thought I'd find myself having four dogs. But by God, I wouldn't have it any other way. And
well, my husband and Anthony tell me that I have brainwashed Mysterio, because when I go down to my son's, Mysterio is right by my side, laying next to me or on my lap in that love seat, that recliner love seat that I sat in. He is always by my side. Well, the other day, Anthony went to pick him up, and it wasn't a bad growl, but it was like a growl, like, do not take me away from my grandma. Put me back next to my grandma. And Anthony and David have both said, have both told me numerous times that I have actually brainwashed Mysterio to love me. And that's not true. That's not true. Mysterio loves his grandma. He loves me. I mean, I'm his favorite person to be next to.
But, yeah, I mean, it's just a totally different feel. And I wouldn't change it for anything. All four, even when I'm raising hell with them because they're bouncing off the walls, or, you know, Misty's making all kinds of odd sounds when I'm trying to do the podcast and everything, I still would not change a bit of it. And I'm so, so, so glad, you know, when Dale went to that rescue, because I was at work and she shooting me pictures of Sadie, and Sadie was just pitiful looking. I didn't think she was going to make it. You know, I've talked about it here on the show. And I never considered the pet rescue thing at all until Dale brought home Sadie. And ever since then, I mean, my thoughts haven't been to anything other than, and, you know, if you're one of these type of people that want a particular breed of dog or a particular age of dog, as I suggest, matter of fact, a friend of my mom's, when we adopted Violet, she saw, you know, my mom shared a picture of the new grand dog, and she got hold of my mom and was like, God, I want one of those Pyrenees so bad. I want a dog like that. So mom got hold of me, and I sent her all the information about Arise, and I'm constantly looking on there, despite the fact I've got four dogs. I will look on there, and if I know somebody who's looking for a particular breed of dog, and I see one of those dogs come up, I'll shoot them a text. Hey, man, you know, check this out. Hey, look at this. So before you go out and dump $2,500 on a pup because it has papers, give this a shot. Sometimes it's worth just waiting sometimes it's worth just, you know, waiting for a particular thing to hit, and you'll feel it, you'll know it, and when you go to these events, you'll get it, you know, and it's hard to describe. You can't write about it. You can't teach about it. It's just there's a certain amount of magic that happens when you go and you meet these dogs and cats and you go, you know what? He's coming home or she's coming home with me. And they become beyond friends. And when you have these days, like we were speaking of a couple of minutes ago, when the world is just kicking your ass harder than you can ever imagine, those pets get it. And they know,
yep.
And they're right there to take care of you. So
and they will love you
yeah.
unconditionally as much
guys.
As you love them.
Yeah, man. So big, huge thanks to Arise Pet Rescue. You guys are incredible. This is my third go-around with y'all, and can't thank you enough. So I guess with all that, I better cue in the British lady because we're in extra innings. And as I alluded to a moment ago, we'll be doing our Christmas show next week. It's far enough away from Christmas where I don't think it's going to interfere with any of our Christmas shenanigans, so we should be able to pull that show off. And then, of course, we'll follow it up with our New Year show or our pre-New Year, hoping that everything I don't know. They talk about eating black-eyed peas on New Year's Day as good luck. Man, I have eaten so many of them damn things, and ain't nothing's gotten better. I think I might lay off them this year because Christ knows, man, it's like, okay, what's the old definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and think you're going to get a different result. I don't care how many horseshoes I shove up my butt. Things just ain't changing. So maybe perhaps this year I'll get a different go at it. So seeing I don't have to take one last drag off my cigar tonight since I passed on the cigar and the rain is held up. Oh, Lord, there's Sadie right there. I guess she wants to go out.
Hello, Sadie.
Hang on, babe. The dad shut the show off. I'll take you out. Hang on one second. Okay, I got to turn the show off. Okay, can you wait? Can you wait? Okay, cool. All right. Well, you got to be kidding me. My laptop is updating. All right, so with that being said, Granny Hulkster, I'm going to do the manual shut off because my laptop is at 89% complete on the update. So I'm just going to do the manual shut off with the phone here.
That's fine.
Wish you and everybody to have a great week. Thank you for joining
yep.
us here at Pop Culture Stars. And we will take
good night, everybody.
Next week. British lady. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, British lady.